gracious.
Okay. Some interesting things here. Right? I mean, the subtitle of it is understanding the vocabulary. A lot of language, interesting things. Like, let's say, let's start off here. Bereshis bara Elokim. So, just trying to choose some different mefarshim that give us a little bit of a different outlook on some of the things that are happening, some of what the words mean. Bereshis. B'tchilas hazman. At the beginning of time. V'hu rega rishon. In other words, not the beginning of time, but the creation of time. The Sfarno learns that the word Bereshis is telling us this is the beginning of time. It's the creation of time. That's what the Maamar Bereshis is. Bilti mischalek shel hazman kodem lo. This is the beginning of time. Bara. Asa eino yeshno. He made that which wasn't into that which is. In other words, this we're talking about L'chora matter, or L'avdaka matter, what do you call it? Energy, something, what do you call it? Something from a physical creation. So, in other words, this is the beginning of the creation of time and space. Time and space.
What about all the physicality?
The first creation, the first statement is creation of time and space. Asa eino yeshno, that which wasn't now is. Ubeze lo yipol zman klal, and there is no, what do you call it? There is no zman, and what do you call it? There's no extent of time. This is now there is time. Now there is space. Now there is, what do you call it? There is the potential for all physical things.
Once time and space to create.
Right. Elokim. Hine milas eloka Torah al nitzchi. It's very interesting. He doesn't explain the etymology of the word, you know, where the Elohim comes from. Usually they say Elohim starts from the word kale, which means power. But he says, Hine milas eloka Torah al nitzchi. Ulezeh al hashedim sheim meisim kivnei adam kmo sheidu razal amr l'shedim lo eloka. So this I didn't understand also that well, but what he called, but I saw in Rav Kugman's version of what he called of the Sforno, he wants to maintain that the Shem Elokim is meant to be understood from that which was done. Breish is Bara Elokim. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of time and space, then he's eternal. He's Nitzri. He has no time and space.
Nitzri
means eternal. In other words, no limitations. No limitations.
Elohim is the word for nature.
Well, that's what we said before. The Ari says Elohim is gematria hateva. Hateva.
So what's the connection?
It's really cool. Here we're talking about the creation of physical potential, right? And certainly nature and all the rules of nature, etc. Those are the rawest, physical, creations, right? Right. And as he points out, very interesting, he wants to prove his point. He sort of proves his point by saying, such an interesting thing. He proves the idea that the Shem Elokim means something eternal, right? Eternal. I guess it's the sore. It's really two sides of the coin. Elohim mitzad himself is really called is eternal, right? As the pasuk says, shadim lo eloka, because Chazal teaches that shadim, even though they can fly, they can this, but they die. They're not eternal. So he says by calling shadim lo eloka, we see eloka means something that's eternal. So the name, what he calls, on the one hand, Hashem, the Shem Elokim, the way the Sforno says, is what he called, it speaks to his eternality, right? His eternal self, right? Mitzad Sheni, he is the source for what we call, right, called Ateva. And he continues. Vayomer Allah Elokim Loshon Rabim. Oh, why is it called Elokim as opposed to Eloka? We know there's also the Hashem Eloka. There are two names. One is Eloka, like you have in Hallel, Eloka Yaakov, and then there's Elokim. Elokim. What's the difference? Why is he called Elokim? Vayomer Allah Elokim Loshon Rabim. Lahorushu Tsuras Kol Hatsuros Hanitzchios. Vizulasam. Ka'amro mole kola arts kvodo, ki ein lizulasu metzios, zulas hanetel mimitziuso. Since he in this lechora comes to what he called, this comes to the, what you're talking about, Elohim, is hateva, right? In teva we see many forces. That's why he's called Elohim in plural, because he is Eloka, he is Nitzchi, he's Elohim because he's the source of all of what he called of all creations, of all what he called, even things that are spiritual. He's the source. There is no other source. There is only one objective reality, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And from him come all other things. So the Eloka part speaks to the Eloka part speaks to the fact that he's the Eloka part speaks to the fact that he's eternal, right, beyond time and space. And the Elohim part, the Yud Mem part, the plural part, speaks to he's the source of everything else.
Well, he wants to
show Nimsa
Zulus Mitzyusok. Elohim are
two different names. They're doing, in other words, what is it really called? When we talk about Shemos of Hashem, again, they're obviously related. Really called Elohim is just putting on the Yud Mem onto Eloka. But like I'm saying, we wouldn't say their names you're not allowed to say. Like we don't say, Aleph Lamed. We say Kael. We don't say Shin Dalad Yud. We say Shakai. Right? We don't say we say Elohim. We don't say Elo, with a hey, either we say Eloka, right? Val tzadi hizdamus, you could call nivdo mechomer Elokim. Val tzadi hizdamus, you can see the next to the last line there. Val tzadi hizdamus, val tzada hizdamus. And we would call it val tzad, and on the side of there's a certain parallelism, dimion, a certain similarity, I should say.
Nitzchi
means eternal.
So what are you saying on the side?
Val tzad, also from the continent, because you use the name Elohim also to refer to angels, to refer to what he called, to refer to shoftim, judges, to also call it Elohim, right? Right, chumash. Val tzad, yizdamus, yikari kol nivdal mechomer. So interesting. Anything which is what he called, which has an aspect which separates it from physicality, is referred to as Elohim. So we call it the angels, who are spiritual, referred to as Elohim.
Anything that is separated from physicality.
Right. But the different aspects of physicality. Like, let's say, V'yikoru ha-shoftim, ha-mumchim, Elohim, kasher yishpetu b'tzelem Elohim. When a judge, right, Elohim, are the word we call those the shoftim who have smicha, right, the mumchim. When they judge according to the laws of Elohim, we give them the name also Elohim. Because in that sense, they are not wrapped up in physicality. They are expressing what is Hashem's will in the world. So they also get the name Elohim, right? Well, Horos Almalas Nitzchiusu Hashem Imenu Netzal Nitzchius Shar Nivdal Nemeshu Elokei Elohim. We refer to Hashem as Elokei Elohim, because by saying that, what he called to speak out his eternality. And that he is the source of all the other forces, even those forces that are referred to as Elohim, right? He's referred to as Elokeha Elohim, right? Because Hashem, some of you talked about, we call Hashem, is called Elokeha Elohim, Adonai Adonim Elokeha Elohim, right? Right? To say that that even though we use the Shem Elohim, right? To refer to things which have similarity, right? And being removed from physicality, refer to them as Elohim. But Hashem is Elokei Elohim. He's the source. Yeah. He's the only real, source of everything.
Let's say that in the Chumash, though.
What?
Never in the Chumash doesn't say Malachim or Elohim.
Sure, what do you call it? But like in the end of his parsha, they talk about the Bnei Elohim. Right? What do you call it? The angels coming down, messing things up, what do you call it, etc. Right. Fine. Okay. Next. Right here is what he called. Listen to this. This is a shlaw. He says, "Machesi lama omer bedvar Hashem shamayim nasu v'lo hizker arts." In pasuk, we say in Pesukim Zimra, right on Shabbos, we say bedvar Hashem shamayim nasu v'ruach piv kol tzva'am.
Next paragraph.
What?
Next paragraph.
Yeah, next paragraph. Right. B'dvar Hashem Shemaim Nasu. Right? B'dvar Hashem Shemaim Nasu. This is the Shloah. He's really called Shloah Kodesh, right? Right? He says, B'dvar Hashem Shemaim Nasu. Why does it say B'dvar Hashem? So the word of Hashem, Shamayim Nasu, the heavens are made. Everything is made to the word of Hashem. Like we've talked about the idea before, that it says, Vayomer, right? Elohim, right? All the Asar Mamoros, Shenivru Ba'olam. So why does the Pasuk in Tehillim say, right? We see that all of Ma'aseh Bereishis is through the Dibur of Hashem. Vayomer, 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 Vayomer. According to Chazal, Bereishis is also a Mimer. So why are you saying, Dafka B'Divar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, the heavens? That's the Shamayim, Shamayim, the Oretz also. V'lohizkir Oretz. Right? He says, Sarach ani lahakdim bir. He says, I have to first give you an introduction. Medrash Rabba Parshas Bereishis. Vayikul Akim le'abosha oretz. Right? Right? Later on in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem calls the Yabosha, right, the dry land, oretz. Lama nikra shmo oretz. Why did he call the dry land oretz? Sheratza lasos ritzon kona. She wanted to do the will of her creator. The earth. Okay. But now.
What's the connection?
It's okay. The od masik b'medrash, eretz mehechon nivres. And the medrash also says, yeah, that where was the earth created from? Natal sheleg mitachas kisei hakavod. He took snow, right, from under the kisei hakavod. Like the Pasuk says, he said to the Sheleg, to the snow, let it be land. Gamsham Kosha, Maya Kosha, yeah? What exactly was bothering the Medrash? Where was the Eretz made from? Where was the Eretz made from? So it says, it was made from the snow, from under the Kisei cover. No, and where was the snow, where did the snow come from? And if the question is, where did it come from? Like, you've got some sort of problem, where did it come from? So what did you answer? So this came from something else. And where did that come from? I mean, obviously Hashem created everything. So what did you help? Like, what's the point of telling me this piece of information? Gamsham kosha, maya kosha la medrash, mehechan nivres. What was bothering it? Where did it come from? Vomer natal shelig, took shelig, in kein kosha, mehechan shelig nivres. So now you got another question. So where did the shelig come from? And if there's an issue of some reason why it's hard to understand where the earth came from, so you have the same issue, but if you tell me that it came from the snow, from underneath the case of government, where'd that snow come from? El al korcha tzrichas lomar api mamoro shel melech nivres. You have to say, where'd the snow come from? The snow from underneath the case of government? Hashem made it. No, so Boker Tov says, Hashem made it, what he called the earth also. You don't have to tell me anything more than that. Hashem made the earth. What's anybody asking? What's anybody answering? Right? Where did the earth come from? Kilu, you know, I can't understand. Where could the earth possibly come from? Answer is, it came from the snow underneath the cover. Yofi, right? So that's an answer? So where did the snow come from? You didn't say anything.
I thought we're not supposed to even think about that.
No, we're not supposed to think about what's before time.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's above and what's below, what's before and what's after, right? That we don't think about, right? Now, Zderach Zebed, here we're talking about within the realm of creation.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't make sense. What question did he ask and what did he answer? Al Derech Zanir Liyashiv HaMedrash Ha'aretz Me'echa Nivres Ki Rotz LaFarsim. The Medrash is not asking a question, well, where could he possibly got the earth from? It's pointing out where the earth came from. What does that mean? Hasiba lama v'alma nikreis oretz. Why is it called oretz? El al derech she'asasa rotzon kona, because they want to do the will of its creator. What's the issue over here? Because the issue over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the snow, which is under the kisei hakavod, right? Close, right? Called to the Ribono Shel Olam, pure, right? And he reduced it, lowered it till it became the oretz. So the earth, as it were, could have said, yeah, why are you lowering me? Right? Here I was so much closer. Here I was so much purer. Now you reduced me, right, to this low level of physicality far away here on this physical earth. But there was no complaint, mitzad the aretz. It wanted to do the will of Hashem. It accepted, right, that it was placed in a lower status. It trusted Hashem. Ba'omer l'sheleg hevi aretz. It reduced it, Right? And there's the concept over here. They're trying to teach us a concept here. Right? And they're trying to introduce us to a concept that the foundation of the earth has to be based upon the fundamental that we are here to do the will of Hashem. Right? Even when you say, but what you I was higher before, now you put me lower down. No questions. Hashem knows what he's doing. So the very Aretz is called Aretz because it Shiratzus Alasos Lutzon Kone. It wanted to do the will of its creator. It didn't argue, even though it was lowered. Here I'm closer, here I'm pure. Why are you going to lower me? No questions. And that's why it says, right? That's why the Pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. The Shamayim was made with the first Dibur of Hashem. But the Aretz went through a metamorphosis, right? First, it started off as a Shelek. The fact is that the Medrash tells us even more. First, it started off as Mayim, and then Mayim became what he called, became whatever. It started off as pure Shelek, close. But then its ultimate purpose, its goal, was to be lower down.
Shelek is close?
Shelig is snow. It's pure. It's what he called it. It's up from it came from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Right? And then it tells us the foundation of the earth, right? In order for the earth to be, in order for creation to be successful, it has to be want to do the will of the Creator. Shemaim Nivru B'Dibra Arishon V'lo Nishtanu. The Shemaim didn't change.
Look at all the mitzvahs that the earth was able to support.
Right, right. Foundation of the true, earth. True, 100%. But until the person has that foundation, until any beings have that foundation of the acceptance of doing the will of the Creator, no pun intended, we don't get off the ground. Right. Okay.
That's very important.
Right? Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Now, further. Not record. The earth, however, failed in the issue, right? And as the earth was willing to accept a lowering of its stature. So that as it were, yeah, it's an acceptance of reduction of kavod, l'chora. Right? Reduction of stature, reduction of kavod, the earth maintained. Now let's see the Sifsei Kohen from Sfas, right? It says, tries to understand the psukim, remember what he called it, like we learned about Totsei Arts Desha, the Eitz Ose Pri. The idea that the trees were meant to taste like the fruit. And then when they actually came up, they came up with the trees not tasting like the fruit. The trees being bark. And the fruit, what he called tasting like fruit.
So this is a separate Indian.
It's a separate Indian. But what he called, again, we're going to see, what we're seeing is that embedded in the story of Maisa Bereishis, are the strengths or the issues upon which every creation stands. Let's say with the Aretz, the willingness to accept, right? The Aretz is willing to accept a reduction of its kavod because it wants to do the will of the Creator.
Okay, so you finish with that.
Now, right. Now we're going now in a new idea. Mm-hmm. Here the Aretz, at least according to what the Sifsei Kohen explains it, didn't want its self-expression, its sense of life, of self-expression, its life, its what you call it, its being alive to be limited, and that really is an issue of taiva.
All right, so you have to start over again.
Okay. So what do you call it? Let's look at the psukim. We know the story, right? We know the story that Rikwar Hashem said that the trees, right, should taste like the fruit that they produce.
Right.
But the Aretz, as it were, brought out trees that did not taste like the fruit that they produced. The trees were tasteless, right? So and the fruits had taste.
That's a caution then?
Right. So first of all, the question is so here the Aretz is not doing the will of its creator.
Isn't the bark part of the tree?
The bark is part of the tree, but it doesn't taste like a fruit. You take a piece of bark, it doesn't taste like an apple, it doesn't taste like a peach.
What did it taste like?
It tastes like bark. Oh, it was meant to taste like the fruit. The bark was meant to taste like the fruit. So now, we're going to see a very interesting thing here. When here in this area, the Aretz is not doing, it essentially, it appears that it's not doing the will of Hashem. Hashem said, let the bark taste like the fruit. But the earth produced, right, produced trees, right, that record where the bark didn't taste like the fruit. Okay? Again,
it tasted like fruit.
It didn't taste like the fruit, right? And again, again, nothing happens against Hashem's will, right? But this is also going to teach us a lesson. Listen to the lesson here. Amruzal, right here in the Sifse Koin from Sfas, as opposed to Sifse Koin on Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah. That's where you're going.
What? Right, thank you. Amruzal, Sha'aret Kilkala B'maymer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Aretz messed up the Maymer of Hashem. Sha'amar Eitz Pri Osa Pri. It wanted to be an Eitz Pri, a tree of fruit. There was a tree that tasted like the fruit.
That was the land.
That was the land. It was meant to produce trees that tasted like the fruit. V'hi lo'asasa.
Hashem wanted the fruit.
Hashem told what he called the Maimer of Hashem was that it should be Eitz Pri Osa Pri. What came out was Eitz Osa Pri, not Eitz Pri. The Eitz didn't taste like the Pri. The tree itself didn't taste like the fruit. V'akil kohi sh'amra aretz im yatama Eitz kitama Pri. Why did the earth do that? Because the Aretz said, if the bark will taste like the fruit, achashi yilketu a pri, after they picked the fruits off, yochlo eitz, they'll eat the tree also.
That's what the land said.
Right. V'itztrich lohotzi ilonos b'chol shana v'shana. I'll need to produce trees every year. Because if they're going to eat the fruit, and the bark tastes like the fruit, after they finish the fruit, they'll eat the bark, they'll eat the whole tree, and I'll have to start all over again. And my sense of continuity, my sense my sense of being eternal, because trees really, we know trees are eternal to a degree, because every tree bears fruit, right? The tree remains, right? Well, some of the seeds really called remain from the fruit. They plant new trees, you get more and more and more, so it's sense of expression, it's sense of alive, being alive, more and more, and extension is forever. But the tree is concerned, if the tree is going to taste like the fruits, if they're going to consume the trees, so all I'm going to do is repeat and repeat and repeat, I'm not going to be able to expand. And the Otsi Eitz, Botam Pri, so therefore the tree said no, the earth said no, I'm going to produce trees that don't taste like the fruit. And that way, right, the trees will remain standing there, right? And they will continue to produce. V'hi lo yada, but the tree didn't understand. The earth didn't understand. The earth didn't understand. V'hi lo yada. Sha'acha she'ilketu a pri, yotzi pri acher pri, lo yamish me'asos peri. That really the intention was, if the tree had tasted like the fruit, then the minute you picked the fruit, the tree would automatically produce another fruit, and another fruit, and another fruit. In other words, just like in the future, right? In the future, every day the tree produced new fruits. There wouldn't be a period of what do you call where you have to wait for the fruit to develop. It automatically would come out another fruit.
Because that was the original plan.
It didn't understand the earth thought that if the trees, right, taste like the fruit, as soon as they finish the fruit, they're going to eat the trees, and then I'll have to start all over again. I'll never be able to expand. And recall, I won't stand forever. Recall, the trees won't stand forever. They'll be cut, they'll be eaten, and then I'll have to start all over again, all over again, all over again. All of these just repetitive. And recall, but really they didn't understand is that if they had fulfilled the will of Hashem, and the trees had tasted like the fruit, then the trees would have been perfected the way they will be in the future, right? And then the minute you pick the fruit, another fruit would come out. The Chenu Omer eats Haaretz Yiten Pirio. It says in Sefer Vayikra in Bichukosai, right, that the tree of the earth will give its fruit. Yiten LaAsid Mashma. The Chenu Amruzal Asida Isha Shetelet B'chol Yom. Women will give birth every day. The trees will produce. The minute you pick the fruit, another fruit will come out in its place. Vasidin ilonos, you'll see a peris b'chol yom. And there's the entire process where there won't be any elongation of time. Everything will just be speeded up. V'lamad, right, etc. It says, they learn it out from a tanagolus, just like a tanagolus produces, a chicken produces eggs every day, so do the fine. So we see over here that Hashem embedded, right, embedded in the Bria, the ability of the earth not to do exactly what Hashem said, in order to teach us that when we think, right, that Hashem doesn't have our best interests in mind, right, and therefore we look for shortcuts, etc. We try to avoid fulfilling the will of Hashem. Really, what we're doing is we're undoing ourselves, right? So you have two, what do you call it, based the Shlaz interpretation of why the Oretz is called Oretz, and the Sifse Kohen's interpretation as to the tree's refusal to fulfill, right, call it refusal, it doesn't fulfill the will of Hashem exactly the way he said it. You see two principles. You see that on the one hand, the earth itself is called Oretz, because it's got a great, it has a title of kavod. Why? Because it accepted its lowering of its kavod. But it's called Oretz, the earth that wanted to do the will of its creator, right? And then when the earth is trying to protect itself, not according to the will of Hashem, really it's undoing itself. So it could have been a super tree.
So the earth didn't say anything, but the tree said something.
Well, it was really the earth in both cases. The earth was willing to be lowered from the holy snow, and it was the earth that didn't produce the trees the way they should have been. Right, so when it did the will of Hashem, even though it was hard to be lowered in its kavod, it receives a title. Right, it's called Oretz. That these are the one that does the will of the Creator. What greater title of kavod than that? And when it called, and when it thought to, what do you call it, to protect itself, protect its sense of being alive with pleasure, like as the billboards say, alive with pleasure, right? What it did was really, it undid itself. Because had it listened to, what do you call it, to the will of Hashem, in that case over there, had the earth listened to the will of Hashem over there, then the trees it would have produced would have been super trees. And instead, right, it undid itself. The Shlaw, right? This is synopsized over here. The Shlaw gives actually a different answer than the Sifse Kohen gave.
The original tensions of Bereishis will happen in the Mashiach comes?
Yeah. Right? That's what it says. Lo, see, Lovo, the trees will taste like... Last year, I think we talked about the idea that the idea of the bark tasting like the... What do you call it? Remember we talked about what he called it? That I heard from what do you call it? It's also... there's a remiss to it in the Shlaw as well. But I've heard it explained by Rav Moshe Shapiro also. That the idea of the bark, yeah, tasting like the fruit itself, right? The bark is the means to producing the fruit. The fruit, a person is considered like a tree, right? Ki adam eitz hasadah. Man is compared to a tree. That's what we talked about last year. Man is compared to a tree, and a tree produces fruit. What are the true fruit of men? The Torah, the mitzvahs, the maaseh. Those are our fruit. Like we'll see with Noach next week. Ela told us Noach. What's the progeny of Noach? Noach ish tzadik tamim ayabedor asav. His mitzvahs, his tzidkis. That's his fruit. So man is like a tree, but what he called, he produces fruit. But the tree itself, you don't taste the sweetness of the fruit. The tree is not an experience of sweetness. In other words, in doing the mitzvah, a person doesn't taste the sweetness of the mitzvah. He feels good about doing the will of Hashem, but he doesn't experience the taste, the sweetness of the mitzvah. Sweetness of sugar we taste. Sweetness, what do you call it, and pleasure of physical experiences we taste, we experience. But the sweetness of what do you call it, of doing the mitzvah, it's like bark. It's like bark. And that's the symbolism, is that's what we talked about last year, the symbolism. That the trees, the Asi Lava, will taste indeed. That really is the intention. The intention is that in the doing of the mitzvah, a person will be mishtagel, go crazy from the enjoyment of doing the mitzvah. Not just we call, it's hard to do a mitzvah, shvir tzadayin yid, it's hard to be Jewish, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? Etc. And I'm happy I'm doing God's will. The person, what he called, he'll do it, he'll run to it, like he'd run to what he called to, lahav v'aluf v'abdolos, some physical pleasure that he runs to now. The Shlaw says an interesting thing, right? And I don't get lost in it, but this is a very interesting thing. He asks as a question, how can you say that that the earth is called Oretz, because it did the will of Hashem. It was willing to be lowered from the Sheleg down to, you know, the lowly earth, clods of earth, right? The shod for tachas kisei kavod, lowered to the lowly clods of earth here in our physical world. How do you see that the earth did the will of Hashem when afterwards, when Hashem told the earth to produce trees that tasted like the, what do you call, like the fruit, it didn't do it? So how can you say that the aretz is called aretz because it shirats and want to do the will of Hashem when in the end it didn't do the will of Hashem?
How can you give the land kavod?
Right. How can you say, what do you call, give this great title, it didn't want to do the will of Hashem? Right? But in the end it didn't do the will of Hashem. Because even though it came down here, it was willing to be the, what he called, as it were, to be the lowly clods of earth here in this physical world. But on the other hand, when Hashem told the earth to produce trees whose bark tasted like the fruit, it didn't do it. He says an interesting thing. He says that the earth was being mechaven l'shem shamayim.
When
it didn't produce the, what he called, the trees according to the taste of the fruit. Because it knew that man would ultimately sin, and that just like the light that Hashem created only lasted through the 7 days of creation, and then it was hidden away, that pure light, right, in its place took an earthly light, right, is there, which has aspects of this eternal light in it, but it's not the full-blown thing. You'd have to dig hard to find it. So too also, it figured it's inappropriate to produce for man trees, right, that taste like the fruit, that's only for a perfected man. But man, what do you call it? Anyway, I'm going to be changed. Just like the light that rained during the 6 days of creation, 7 days of creation, yeah? No longer rained post that first week. It was changed. It was hidden. Only part of it was left, etc. So too also, the nature of trees is going to change. We call it the trees knew this. The earth knew this.
That's what happened throughout all the history of the earth when people went sin.
Right,
so
right.
The nature of
the right, earth. Right. So the earth understood this. Just like the sea understood that one day it would be split. Hashem told it, right? Hashem made a t'nai with it, like Chazal say. In order to enable the splitting of the sea at the Yom Suf. So too, the earth understood that one day its trees are not going to be. So the earth said, why wait till then? I'll do it now. And in the end, the way the Shlomo learns it, I'm not going to get into it, that helped the Nachash in what he called, he pointed out the differences between the trees and stuff like that, and that's how he bamboozled Chava. I don't want to get into a long story.
You don't want to say what he said.
Yeah, it's too long, it's too, what do you call it, too, whatever, it's too involved. But, so what happens is that sometimes, yeah, you got to be willing to do the will of Hashem, but you can't overstep your bounds. You can't overstep your bounds. And as he was willing, as it were, to prevent, as it were, a creation, yeah, that would be beautiful for man, because man's not going to deserve it.
Right.
But it didn't happen yet. Who told you to do it yet?
Good point.
Who told you to do it? You're trying to imitate Hashem. Don't imitate Hashem in that way.
I know I'm going to do it there. So
right, so don't imitate Hashem in that way. Right? Do what he called you. You know that man is not going to be worthy, and therefore you're going to do it based on. Don't be Hashem's policeman. Don't be Hashem's policeman. If he tells you to do it, then you be his policeman. But don't figure, oh, I'm going to go one step further. It reminds me, it's an interesting thing, right? It reminds me of Yaakov Yosef. It's different one. But what do you call it? The yeshiva, Rekor Yaakov Yosef in the United States. Rav Yaakov Yosef, he once said, you know, the Gemara talks about RJJ, called RJJ. When the Gemara talks about that we say Ashrei every day, because it has Poseach HaSedechel must be L'chol Chai Ratzon, right? So then, what do you call it? And it's in the state of the Aleph Beis. That's where we say Ashrei every day. And we don't say every day the what they call Halag Gadol, the 26 kilo chastos, even though it has Nosin Lechem L'chol Basa. God feeds all herb, all flesh, because it's not the order of the Aleph Beis there, says the Gemara. So he said, Reiko, what does that mean? Because the order of the Aleph Beis in Ashrei, it talks about also to the chasadim that Hashem does. Right? And that's the order that Hashem wants us to imitate. To imitate him as the Baal Chesed. Right? Right? Tov Hashem Lakol, Barachem Aval Kol Masav, right? Hashem is good. In the 26 Kilon Chazdos, there are a lot of din-oriented things.
Is it Ashrei?
An Ashrei, right? Ashrei called, he says, right? Tov Hashem Lakol, Barachem Aval Kol Masav, right? Called, etc. Zecharav Tuvchai, Abiyu V'titchaschai, Yoninu, Chanun V'rachum Hashem, Erech HaPayim V'gdol Chazdos. These are all expressions of Hashem's kindness, his rachamim. In the 26 Kilon Chazdos, even though it says, Nosin Lech HaChol Basar, but it says how like Hashem punished the Mitzrim, how he drowned them, how he destroyed Sichon, how he destroyed Og, how he destroyed all the kings, of what he called. Says Rav Yaakov Yosef, he says, that's why they chose Ashrei, because Ashrei is filled with the order of Chesed. You want to imitate Hashem? Imitate him with his Chesed, right? Don't imitate him with his din. If he tells you to do the din, then you got to do the din, right? You put justice on somebody. But oh, don't try and imitate him, right? Go, I'm going to do justice. I'm going to be Mr. Justice there. You look like a sinner to me. Bang, you're gone, right? You look at me like you're thinking about doing your sin over here. I know that's not what Hashem wants. You're gone, etc. So it's sort of similar to that. That was the error of the L'shem Shemayim. It wanted to do the will of Hashem, but it decided to do the will of Hashem in a form of punishment, kilu, a punishment. And Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem doesn't want that. Again, that's what he called. That's my feelings on the topic.
That's very nice.
Okay. Fine. Further.
Which
separation? He or. Vayar lokim is a or ki tov. Vayavdei lokim ben a or ben a choshech. We're going to just examine some of the words here. It says vayomer elokim yehi or, and Hashem said, "Let there be light." Vayhi or, there was light. Vayar elokim, and Hashem saw as a or. He saw the light. Ki tov, that is good. How are we meant to understand these words? So the Ramban says, Ramban says, in other words, when we're talking about, when Hashem speaks, we're talking about his will becoming manifest. Just like if you're thinking of an idea, I don't know what you're thinking. When you speak it out, it becomes clear what you're thinking. So too now, when we're talking about the process of Hashem's will becoming manifest, that's called Amira. That is when the Chumash writes about Hashem, a Yomer Elokim, right? It's a code word for saying, and his will now became manifest. It's explaining that there is a process here, a process of what he called of will. And what he called, and creation is what he called in, right, remember, Hashem creates time, and now within that realm of time and space that Hashem created, now his will becomes manifest. That's why it says Vayomer. Vayomer means, when we speak, this is what we understand, it's not like Hashem is speaking, what he called, there's no sound waves that he's making, right? But it means the expression of the will. The will becoming manifest, that's called Amira. What does it mean, Re'ia, he saw. What did he need to see it for? Right? The Yikiyumam, Yikare Re'ia. In other words, recall the fact that Hashem is going to cause this to remain always. In other words, the creation is the Amira, right? That's the manifestation of the will. And the fact that now this is going to remain that way, which is what we call Hashgacha. Hashgacha is really just constant creation. Because it's all from Hashem's will. The word, the code word for, what he called for the creation continuing, Kiyumam, continued existence, is Re'ia. He saw. In other words, Ki'ilu, right? Just like when you see something outside of yourself, you see it has existence. When the word Re'ia is used by Hashem, he has no eyes, right? He doesn't need eyes, but it means that's the code word for saying it will he gives continued existence to it. Right? Right? It exists according to his will, and were his will, right, were it to cease to do his will, then it would cease to exist. That everything continues. You know, it's not like Hashem threw a frisbee, and the frisbee continues. Right? The continuity of creation, what we call just continuing, right, is a constant application of his will. And that's called re'ia, he saw. Yeah. And when it says,
by the Ramban,
and when it says, Vayar Elokim ki tov, right, Shiratza b'kiyum ol'ad, tov, right, is the code word for that is that he wants this existence to continue forever. So, Amira is the manifestation of his will. Re'ia is, you know, the code word for continued existence. And when we say it's Tov, that means, what do you call it, it's meant to serve its purpose, and then it will remain Kiyum al-Ad. It will remain
forever.
Sounds
like similar.
No, what do you call it, because you could say the Kiyum moves over here, and then it's going to stop. Right? Look, when you say it's Tov, so it's good.
So that it's a continued existence.
Right. It would continue existence, but that continued existence is going to be forever. Right?
It's going to be forever.
Right. That's what, that you only know from the word Tov. From Tov. It's good. It'll remain. It'll serve its purpose. Since it has a purpose to serve, right, it'll remain forever.
When you say continued existence, I mean, I would infer that, so imply it.
Right. I understand, but what do you call it? Let's say what do you call it? Let's say I made the table, okay? And now I put the table together so that it'll stick. I mean, we can't really, it's not the same thing, but we call, let's say, yeah. But tomorrow I'm going to break it up and turn it into firewood. By Hashem, it's what he called Tov. This, the way I made it, and the way that it's what he called, and the way that I can give it continuity, right, is going to remain. It's going to remain. Okay? Okay, so now, so that's pretty cool. That's your terminology. So what we've seen so far, we've seen the vocabulary of Bereishis Bor Elokim by the Sforno. We saw the vocabulary Vayomer Elokim Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, that vocabulary from the Ramban. Then conceptually, we saw what we call the Oretz, right? Applying what we call itself properly. Yeah, right? Even though it appears to be a lowering of its kavod, in the end it receives the highest title of kavod. And then when you try to be smarter than Hashem and you think that he doesn't have your best interest in mind, etc., then you wind up
cutting your nose
off. Yeah, cutting off your nose to spite your face. Once again, the concepts from what we call from creation itself.
Yeah, that's good.
Now let's look what it called. Let's look here. And we talked about this. We're going to synopsize this. But
next page.
Yeah, next page, page 2. Yeah, that's the page 2. Right. Vayom Elokim Yihim Oros Berakia Shemaim Lahavdu Ben Yom Uben Laila Vayul Osos Muadim LeYamim LeShani. Right. Vayul Maoros Berakia LaYir LaOratz VeYichen VaYas Elokim Shnei Maoros Hagdolim. Right. By the way, let's really look at Tezayin. Really, Tezayin. We're talking about the creation, right, of the heavenly orbs, right, the sun, the moon, etc. So, Pasuk Tezayin is really the main part Pasuk for us. VaYas Elokim Shnei Maoros Hagdolim, and God made the two great lights, as a Maor Hagadol LeMishel Sayom, as a Maor Katon LeMishel Zlaila. The big or for what he called for dominion over the day, that's the sun. The smaller ore, so a smaller source of light, for the what he called for the dominion over the nighttime, that's the moon. The Eitz HaKochavim and the stars. So Chazal over here, right? Rashi brings it down. It's a Gemara, right? A Gemara in Chulin, right? That what he called what happened. The Pasuk first calls them the two great lights,
right?
The sun and the moon, right? And then it says, right? And then it says, afterwards, it calls the sun the great light and the moon the small light. So Rashi brings down the Gemara.
Big light.
right? The big light and the what you call the moon is the small light. First it said they're equal, then it says one's big, one's small. So Rashi brings down the Gemara in Chulin. Right? So here, let's take a look at the Gemara in Chulin here. Let's see the whole the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rami, Ksiv. He asks as a stira. Rami raised up as a stira, Rami. Contradiction, between two psukim. Ksiv, Ayas, Lakim, Mishneim, Orus, Agdolim. Shem made the two great lights, sources of light. Ksiv is a Ma'or Agadol, but a Ma'or Katan. Then after it says the big one and the small one. Right? Amra Yoreach. This moon said, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch before the Ribono Shalom. Efshir L'shnei Melachim Shishtamshu B'Keser Echad. Is it possible for two kings to use one crown? There's going to be one king, right? How can it be two kings using one crown? Amar la l'chi u'matiyas atzmeich. So Hashem said, you understand the concept that there can't be two kings with the same, what do you call it, using one crown. So therefore, go make yourself smaller. Right? The idea being that the moon
said that.
Right. The moon said, can you have two kings using the same crown? Can it be two kings with the Gitzer? And the king, and the Hashem says, you're right, so make yourself smaller. Because the idea is that perhaps the moon would have been constantly, yet the moon, I guess,
it's the same size.
I don't even know, it's a matter of same size, but if its orbit, right, could be put into sync with the sun, it would always be full moon.
Well, maybe light outside.
Right. Well, what do you call it? Yeah, but I'm saying the moon would always be full. The moon would always be full.
There wouldn't be light outside. In fact, there would be light outside all the time. There wouldn't be any night.
No, I understand, but I don't know if... Would, see, you could understand that... rather than understanding the moon had its own light, we could understand that the moon was always meant to be a reflected light. Right? Always meant to be reflected light. Mm-hmm. But if the moon, right, God, had if its orbit were fast or whatever, yeah, slower, place, I don't know how you would do it, right? Then you could have it always, every night it would be a full moon. It would be bright. You would never see it getting smaller. You'd never see it changing.
I don't see why. The moon would go around the sun.
The moon's going around the Earth. Around the Earth. Let's say
at the times that it would show, it would just be much lighter.
Okay, so I'm saying, the idea being that you could say that, in other words, even if we kept the same reflected light, right, but you could have a situation, right, you could have a situation of where I guess you could have a situation, I don't know, I have to think about it, where the moon would always be full.
We would never see the full moon. No. Only until once or twice every year.
No, why?
When we get to that point, the moon will still rotate around the Earth. The Earth will rotate around the Moon.
If
when
we change
get to the full moon, it'll be full moon, and it would increase its brightness.
I understand, but what do you
Everything
call
it? Will work except the brightness.
I understand, but what do you call it? The full moon, right, is what do you call it, is dependent upon the orbit of the, what do you call it, of the moon around the Earth.
Right.
If you fix the orbit of the moon around the Earth, you technically could have what he called. You could technically have a full moon all the time.
If
you fix
the moon,
yeah, right?
It doesn't say anything about the moon being fixed. It just says size.
Yeah, he says make yourself smaller. Okay, you could look at it smaller. You could talk about size. You could talk about light. I'm suggesting that what he called, you could be talking about that if the orbit again, if the orbit of the moon.
It doesn't say anything about orbit. It says about the size, the light. What does it say? Orbit. Change your orbit.
When it says smaller, it means what do you call the moon was larger before?
The moon will stay the same, but
what are you saying? Just a second. The Gemara says make yourself less. So it means the moon was as big as the sun before.
Yes.
If you
make yourself less,
that means the moon was the moon. That means the moon was as big as the sun.
Yeah, two great kings.
I don't think that's the shot. But whatever. The word ma'ati, right? Make yourself smaller can have a lot of different meanings. Okay, this is not something to argue about, right? We don't have to worry about that. Whatever it means. Whatever it means. Okay? Whatever it means. Whatever it means. Whatever it means. So he says, what do you call it? So this Hashem says, okay, so fine. So make yourself, what do you call it?
Smaller.
Make yourself
smaller. Less light.
Whatever. Whatever it means. Okay? Okay. Whatever it means, I don't want to get lost in it.
Okay.
Okay? I saw this, where did I say that explanation? I think in Rabbi Yonos Neibshitz. I think that was his suggestion.
The one left side?
About the idea of the orbit. Uh-huh. I think I saw it there. See, that's it. It's okay. I can handle it. Okay. All right, fine. Further. So what does Hashem say to him? He says, so the moon says, because I said something that's right, right? Dover Hogun, Amitis Atzmi, I should lessen myself. Fine, you'll be there during the day and the night. It's interesting. Okay. I don't want to get lost in this.
How does he say that during the day?
Because the day, you can see the moon during the day also.
Only when?
Later, when the moon is visible, but you can see it during the day also. Right?
Okay.
On Malay, my Ravuse, the Shragabatir, a big deal, says the moon. What do you call it? That's like holding a candle and saying, "Oh, I'm giving light in the middle of daylight." Well, I'm not adding anything. How am I helping anybody? Right? As long as you can see the moon, but it's not like my light is doing anything special. My ahani.
So what, the moon is arguing now?
Yeah, the moon is what he called. What are we having here? This is a different sort of discussion than we had before. What do you call it? Before we had the story, let's say with the trees, right? The trees just went and did its own thing. Right. It was wrong.
Right.
Here, what do you call the moon? It doesn't do anything. What do you call on its own volition? It says, Hashem, what's the story here? How can there be two kings with one crown? He says, you're right. You make yourself smaller, whatever that means. So then the moon says, well, wait a second. Because I said something that's right, I should make myself smaller, right? What's the moon concerned about? We don't know yet. We'll see. Yeah, I should make myself smaller. So Hashem says, okay, don't worry. You'll be visible during the day also, right? The sun will only be visible during the day. You'll be visible night and day. The moon says, that doesn't help, right? Because the light of the sun is so overwhelming during the day. It's like a person saying, I'm adding to the light of the world by walking out with a candle midday. I'm adding something. What am I adding? I'm adding nothing. It's already lit from the sun, right? Shraga b'tira, my mahani. Amala zil limnu bach Yisrael yomim v'shonim. The Jews were going to use you to count, what do you call it, to count the days and the years, what do you call it, Yom Tovim. Amalei Yom Anami, Yevshar, Dolomano Bey, Tkufta, Dichsi, Vahil, Osas, Amodim, Yomim, Neshonim. Right? He says, what do you call it, they need the sun for that also. What do you call it, you can't know a full day until the sun sets. He says, okay, what do you call it, wait a second. Likru, Tzadiki, B'shmech, Tzadikim will be called like you. You're small. You're going to be called the Ma'ora Katan. And Tzadikim are going to be called Tanim. Right? Yaakov is called Yaakov HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan. David HaKatan. Right? All called Tanim. You're in good company. The Tzadikim are called Tanim.
Yeshua HaKatan.
Yeshua? I don't remember.
He was supposed to be like the moon.
Well, he's like the moon, but I don't know if they call him Katan, though. Right?
That's what they refer to? You shine like the moon?
Well, Yeshua is referred to as being someone to the moon because he reflected Moshe's light. Right.
But Yaakov and the other people
are also referred to as Tanim. Yeah.
Why? Because they are.
Oh, okay. It says they're called Tanim. So what do you call it? Right. He says Chazi Loka Mitzvah Daita. So the what do you call it? The Boreshim saw that the moon wasn't being appeased. He says you light during the day. He says what big what does that help? The what do you call it? The Yom Tov are going to be using you. He says what? You also need the sun for that too. He says the Tzadikim will be called small, just like you're called small. So the moon wasn't happy. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hevi'a Kapara Alai, Shemiyata Tiyas Yareach. The Rebbe Shlomo says, all right, I need to bring a kapara. I need to bring a korban. I need to bring a korban, right? To as it were, because I made the moon small.
He has to bring a kapara?
Right.
Hashem's going to bring
it. Okay. Behind the Omer of Shimon Melakish, that's what it really Lakish says, Manishtana Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh, we bring a Seir. We bring a goat in addition to the regular korbanos of what he called, and the additional korbanos of what he called a Musaf, right? We also bring a Seir. Seir the Chatos. Manishtana Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh, Shiner Mabo LaHashem. It says the Chatos, doesn't say just LaHashem, it says LaHashem Chatos. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Seir Zeh, Chatas Hashem. Right? Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Seir Zeh, Yeh Kapara, Al Shimatiti, Eseh Reach. The Gemara says that the Chatas, Korban, that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, is the Kapara for Hashem. Because he made the moon small.
Chattas and what else?
The Chattas. Yeah, the Chattas. What do you call? There are other Musafim Korban, like Kvasim, etc. But what do you call? But the Chattas is called the Chattas Lashem, right? And that would call that's to cover Yochel to be mechaper on Hashem making the moon small. Okay, this is all deep space, no pun intended. Yeah, yeah. So now, look at the Medrash. The Medrash has a little bit of a different story here. It talks about Esa Kochav. Note that the Gemara over here.
So the moon was satisfied with the Chattas?
That's all it says. Hashem says we're going to make a Chattas, and that's the end of the discussion of the Gemara. It doesn't continue after that.
Really?
Yeah. In the Medrash. The Medrash comes and addresses, yeah. If you look at the pasuk again, Tezayin, what does it say? Vayasu kim shnei ma'oros hagdolim. Right? Hashem made two great lights. Mor gadol, the mishel siyom, mor katon, the mishel silayla, the esa kochavim, and the stars. Where did the stars come from all of a sudden?
That's three lights.
Right, that's what he called. Where did the stars come from? Says the Medrash. The esa kochavim, Amr of Acha, Mashal Melech. What's the story of the Chacham? Where'd they come from? Right? Mashal Melech. What's
Chachamim considered stars?
What?
Chachamim.
Maybe, but I didn't say that. I just said
Kochachim.
Kochachim. It could be what
you. I didn't hear correctly.
Right, no, okay, but you know, you're a prophet. So,
no, I didn't hear correctly.
Yeah, but it's going to come out of what you're saying. Amr of Acha, Mashal Melech. What's it comparable to? Shahilu Shnei Apotropim. A king had two agents, two emissaries who were doing his work for him. Okay? Echad sholet ba'ir. One, yeah, ruled over the city. But actually the city over here is what he called, it means a small city. Not a big one, a little city. The echad sholet ba'medina. And the other one is sholet on a big metropolis. Medina's a metropolis. Amar melech, hol miyit atzmo ze lios sholet ba'ir. Since this one accepted, right, the job of being my agent in the small city as opposed to the metropolis, goes Rani Alav Bashashu Yotse, I decree that whenever he will go out, you know, in his royal carriage, as it were, was semi royal carriage, Yotse Te Kol Chlusya Yotse Imo. I decree on all the other members of that city that they have to go and escort him. Ubashashi nichnas teibuli vidimus nichnas imo. Kachom rakodesh borchu. Hoil v'levana hazu mieta atzma. Since the levana made itself small, lo shaletis v'layla, and it's going to be there only at night, right? It's not a big, the nighttime things are shut down. I mean, we're not talking Times Square here, but whatever. Yeah, what you call nighttime is not when men is doing all the big things. The big things are being done during the day. And the moon is not being sholed during the day. It's being sholed at night. Goes in Eleh B'shashi Yotzei Kochavim Yotzin Ima. B'shashi Nichneses Yuach Kochavim Nichnasim Ima with the Kavasa. And when the moon, what do you call, once the evening ends, then stars, you can't see them anymore. The stars are always going to support the moon. So now, the Gur Aryeh says, right? The Gur Aryeh says that really the idea of the kapora, of that Hashem brings, is not that Hashem has done something wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But it's what he called from our vantage point. Right, it looks like an injustice has been done to the what do you call it, to the moon. The purpose of the kapara is to create closeness. In other words, when a person sins, right, so he needs to cleanse away his sin in order to bring the closeness back between himself and the Creator. Since the creation, as it were, right, since the moon and everything that the moon represents, right, the moon is representative of the Shekhinah. Right, that it waxes and wanes in our presence. Right, it waxes and wanes in the world bending.
Who is Hashem being closer to?
So the korban there is to celebrate when the new moon starts. That's we're going to celebrate the beginning of this light, and that's going to cause by that celebration of the new moon's light, that the process of the moon growing now by celebrating that's a kapara in that it creates closeness once again between man's perception. perception, right, of what he's meant to do on the earth, and the position that Hashem has given him. In other words, the fact that it's so hard to be over Hashem because there's so many overwhelming things in the world that try to drag you away, of angers and jealousies and desires and all these things, etc. Yeah, but the celebration of the light of the moon coming again, that's the kaparas. That's what the Maharal says. Okay. So we talked about that a little bit last year. But let's see the more of a shamish, right? The more of a shamish, he says a very interesting thing on the combination of the Gemara and the Medrash, and what was the moon's issue to begin with.
What is it again?
The more of a shamish. Economist Kalman records from Krakow. There's a Talmud of Rav Elimelech, Mishloch Lejens. Look at the last paragraph here. Amar la tzadikim yukaru al shmecha. He starts off with what he called with the end of the Gemara. More of a shamish. Amar la. Hashem said to the what he called to the what he called the moon. Tzadikim yukaru al shmecha. The tzadikim be called on your name. Right? Remember, you're small. Moshe is called, we call it, Yaakov is called Katan. Right? And David's called Katan, etc. Shmuel is called Katan. Lefichach here, but tzva'er. Look what he did, right? He combined the Gemara. Amar la tzadikim yikaru al shmecha. The tzadikim will be called by your name, right? Just like they'll be called small. And right, and it says lefichach here, but tzva'er. Therefore, he increased its hosts, the ones who escorted it. That's from the Medrash, not from the Gemara.
I don't understand what you're saying. He increased his hosts.
Well, you already remember what he called the ones who were going to escort the moon. Remember the Medrash said what he called. Remember what he called the Gemara said. Well, you'll be there during the day. That doesn't help. What he called you're going to count to what he called the Mahdi McCoy. That's
the stars are going to escort you.
The stars and scores are going to escort you. That's not in the Gemara. That's in the Medrash. That's what I'm saying. What he called when you said before Chachamim instead of Kochavim, I said what he called. I said you said the words of prophecy. He says Amar la tzadikim yikaru al shmecha lefichach hirbu tzva'er. HaKadosh Baruch Hu increased its hosts, the hosts of the what he called of the moon, i.e. the stars. Venira biuro, but as he's putting together, he said, how do you combine the Gemara with the what he called with the Medrash? Venira biuro bekitzer, lefish HaKadosh Baruch Hu shil shel olamos mata mata ad mokum shi efshori lo adam lachzor achar kol ma'isim shi atzik ba'olam azeh lavo letshuva. Because Baruch Hu brought this physical world into creation. He lowered it, right? The source of our physical world is way, way up there in spiritual, what we call in spiritual territory. And it wends its way down till it comes down to the physical earth that we live in right now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it, right? That it should be in such a state that even though it's so totally physical, a person has the capacity to find Hashem within the world and trace himself back to the Kisei HaKavod.
Okay, so I don't know why you're bringing this in.
Okay, so he's what he called. This is background. This is background. It's not records. It's just a background to the understanding of what's going on over here. Okay. This he's saying the background is that we should know that our Kriya. Remember, we talked about the Shem Shakai, according to where the Kliyakar understood it. Now, because Baruch Hu said to his world die. Sh'omer lo lomo die. So the way the Kliyakar explained it was that the Gemara in Chagiga says the world was expanding. Again, the different ways to extend that Gemara. Expanding. So Hashem says, die, enough. Don't get too physical. You get too physical, then they'll never be able to find, man will never be able to find in all this physicality, they'll never find his spiritual source. He'll never be able to follow the end of the ball of yarn all the way back to what he called to his source, back to Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So this is the Shem Shakai. Die, enough, no more. So too, the more of a shamish is using that idea over here. And he's saying that the world was designed like that.
The world was designed what way?
That designed in such a way that it became physical. Again, we are a physical expression. We are a concretization, right? Of a spirit, of spiritual sources way, what do you call it? From underneath the Kisei HaKavod. From Hashem's, what do you call it, most original will. And yet that's us, you know, flesh and blood. But it's designed perfectly that what? The Ilu Hayim Ishtalsha Olam the Ovius, the Gashmius Yosim At Lahi Efshari Klau Lak Zorbachuva. If, however, the world were to become too physical, with not enough signposts and hints, yeah, it's like have like a treasure hunt. Right? Record. You got to look at it. I found a hint. I found a hint. I found a hint. If it became too physical, too difficult, we'd never be able to get out of here. We would just remain physical beings. Right? Achakach, v'zeh she'omer lo lomo dai. He's referring to what he called that perush of Shakai. Omer lo lomo dai. Shol yishtal so yoser. Kirikasavdu. Kam apamim. B'tvoreinu b'vir yoser meruach. Arucha ayin sham fine. V'hine. B'tchila v'yivr elokim eshneyam o'oros hagdolim. Hashem made two great lights. V'omra levana i'efshe l'shnei melochim sh'ishtam sh'b'keser echot. Tanu sh'yia ha'behirus godol me'od. The recall the way the or Vashamish says it. What was the moon saying? The sun is a symbol of what he called of the physical order of things. The sun makes everything grow, right? Without the light of the sun, there'd be no physical world, right? The moon always is changing, right? It's changing. It is what he called. It is the it's a sign of what he called of the growth process. When it's trying to, as it were, right, rise up out of the world of physicality. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fall, sometimes like the moon waxes, sometimes the moon wanes. So the moon said, if we're going to be two kings equally powerful, there'll be no free will. If everything, there'll be no free will. In other words, if the moon, right, if I and record and are so clear, so bright, right, so constant like the sun, so then record, how can man? What's the purpose of man being here? Then it'll be all very clear to him, right? You can't have both kings being equal. The rotzon v'zei efshar lishtamish b'keser echad v'malakosh baruch hu l'chi mati es atzmech. Make yourself smaller, Hashem says. You're right. You're 100% right. You understood correctly. You understood the concept. Right? You have to make yourself smaller. Because if you're as bright, if the system that the moon represents, which is the process of growth, yeah, is as clear as the physical world, which is just constant.
So wait, it's a little confusing. If the moon and the sun were the same size, everything would be more in a state of physicality.
No, it would be what he called that the world of growth, which is spiritual, true growth is spiritual, would be as clear as the physical world. So then what he called, then there's no struggle for man. He can't get reward for anything because it's all clear.
So that would be obvious if the moon and the sun were the same size.
Right, if they were the same size, therefore, if they were the same clarity.
Why? It would be everything would be more physical. You're living in the physical.
No, because the we're called the moon, because the moon is what he called. If we're going to go with this idea of the moon showing growth, right, reflected light, whatever aspect he's talking about, he doesn't say which, wax waning or what he called or reflected light that is what he called. It's meant to receive and what he called, etc. But if they're both equal, then there's no free will because it's too clear. If what he called, if as we're learning here, we could see the malachim, right? They're listening to what we're saying. If we could experience the nachas ruach that Hashem has from us sitting and learning every Erev Shabbos, so then what be free will? Right? There wouldn't be free will. Amra, lefisha marti davar hogun, lefisha yara. But then the moon says, wait, I'm concerned. You're going to say I make myself smaller. Lefisha yara shiye yefsha lovu lechuva yidei abyus v'gash misa olam. If I'm going to be smaller, though, the moon is really, what do you call it, the way, it's really, it's a conversation being carried on by Hashem and the moon. The moon is saying...
This is not in the Gemara, this is in the Midrash.
But he's really called, I mean, it's really his interpretation of the Gemara, and he's unifying it with the Midrash, we'll see in a second.
Okay.
He's saying, he says like this, he says the moon is saying, if we're equal, there's no free will. You tell me to make myself smaller, then maybe the world will be too thick, it'll be too physical, and they'll never be able to find his way out. Amar Laz, Hashem explains to him, Tzadikim Yikaru Al Shmecha. The tzaddikim, the hainu al yedei tzaddikim, the hainu shehem yu meorim b'tshuva kol ha'olam sheyuchlu lenatek es atzmam migashmis v'avis ha'olam. The tzaddikim who make themselves small. In other words, since man has the capacity to make himself small, right, not to be full of himself, he will always have the capacity, even after you've been reduced in size or clarity or whatever it is, yeah, he will always have the capacity, the tzaddikim will always have the capacity, as it were, to humble themselves before the Creator, which is the biggest test, right? Humbling oneself before the Creator, anivus, is the fundamental test of where a person begins to search for the, what he calls the end of the ball of yarn to lead himself back up to the Kisei HaKavod. That's the Iker. The Iker is what he calls, yeah, is Anova. So the tzaddikim can make themselves small. Don't worry, they can make themselves small. Once a person has the ability to humble himself for his creator, to make himself small, there is hope for man. And not only that, but also, this is all from the Gemara, where he calls that they're going to use you for holy days. There will be holy days in the system that are generated by you, by the moon, where they will be closer to Hashem. That will also give them inspiration to be able to find the end of the ball of yarn, to lead themselves back up to their source. So the very nature of man... Sigzun. So man's nature, because they're still, man could be a tzaddik, right? He can still humble himself for his creator. He can make himself katan. There's hope. He'll still be able to find what he calls to plug into your system. Your system will be used to create what he calls the yamim tovim, holy days. Holy days, what he calls, where they'll be able to draw holiness from it. That will also aid them.
What's the hope for? The hope is...
The hope, what he calls, to be able to wend your way out of what he calls, out of the world of physicality, and to reach, what he calls, to return back to your source, tshuva. You get an Shama Yisera on Yah Shabbos, etc. You call him Kobasel of all the tshuva. That's what it means in the Medrash when it says, I'll increase your hosts. Kanal Shayidei Zed, the Haino Ide Tzadikim, Vishabasos Vyamim Tovim, Sheishaleh, Lashchina, Kdoshe Ide Tzadikim, Ide Zed, Yacholim Kobasel Lassos Tshuva. The Tzadikim are like the, what he calls, like the stars. And as the stars, what he calls the concept of the stars, is like we see in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Every star has a name. Stars, what he calls, they look very small, but stars are gigantic, right? Stars are gigantic, right? They're gigantic, but they just seem very, very cute, but each one has got its own name. So the tzaddik in Klal Yisrael, what he calls, the world will be set up in such a way that even though the immediate, right, reaction is that the sun totally outweighs the moon, but you have aids, right? You have devices that will aid in people attaching themselves to your system, the system of the moon, the system of growth, the system of growth. And even after you fall, to grow again and to grow again and to grow again and to grow again, right? There'll always be supports for that. The supports being, once again, the tzaddikim, the Yamim Tovim, and the ability of what he called man Bechlal to humble himself before we call before his creator.
And that was the moon.
That's what he called. That appeased the moon. That appeased the moon. Right? And of course, like the Gemara says, the way Maharal explains it, and the Kapara, right, the celebration of the new moon, shows that that's what he called, that's the Iker system. So part of our divine service is going to show that the Iker system is the system of the moon, right? That's the Iker. That's the Iker for us, the process of growth, and these other, what do you call these other devices also aid in the.
The Kippurah is the
Korban brings us close again. Why? Because we're celebrating the new moon, right? That's the way Maharal understands. It's not when Hashem has a sin; he doesn't have a sin, but what do you call it? Is just like a sin creates a gap.
Why a chatas? Let it be a simple.
Oh, so what do you call it? In other words, just like a chatas cleanses away a gap. Right? So here the perceived gap is from our point of view. Obviously Hashem knows there is no problem here. Right? Nothing is really been done. But from our perception, right, there's a gap created. So if we call it a chatas, because what he calls it's gonna remove the gap. Just like a sin creates a gap, so to our misperception, right, is really what creates the gap. So therefore when the new moon begins, right, we erase that gap by bringing the chatas, that cleanses away the gap that we perceive by our celebration of now the process of the moon and all the moon represents is starting all over again.
So it was really the moon's intention of for the sake of people so they can
right,
grow.
Right.
That was...
Right, right. Initially he said, when Mor Shemesh explained it, initially he said it because, well, if it's too clear, then they have no chira. Then he says, okay, so make yourself smaller. But wait a minute, if I'm too small, then they won't be able to find their way. So Hashem, don't worry, there are plenty of audiovisual aids, as it were, in the world that will enable you, what he called, to be successful.
So here's a case that not like the trees.
Right.
Not like the earth.
Right, right.
Like the moon had the intention for people to come closer to
the earth. Right, right. Vidyuk. Right. And therefore, it's not like it sinned, right? It just pointed out the problem. So there's a whole Talmudic discussion, as it were, between the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel, and the moon, etc. How are we going to design it so that your concerns will be answered, right?
So we can get a bigger reward.
Right.
Whoever talks on
this. Right.
I still can't see how the moon and the sun are similar size. It would take away the zero.
Because the way he's understanding it, right, is that if on the one hand, like you see everything physical, right? Everybody's got everybody's got a Lexus outside.
Exactly.
Everybody's got a Lexus outside.
Right.
But on the other hand, if just sort of like if when you were learning, you felt like pulsing through you, right? Just incredible pleasure in every word that you learned. So it's true that everybody's got a Lexus outside, but what the heck do I need a Lexus for outside? Every word that I take, every thought that I have, every time I wind, I wind my tefillin in my arm, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm taking off from the moon. No pun intended.
So yeah. Detrimental to...
To free will. Okay. Okay. Let's just take...
You said something else was the main thing. I forgot what it was.
I'm sorry?
You said there was another thing.
Okay, let's just see this last last service. The Medrash. The Pasuk. Yikavu amayim. Let the water be collected together, gathered together. Mashal melech, shahoshiv ilmim, v'yasholim shlomo, shal melech, b'ramiza. What is he talking about over here? Hashem gathers together the water. In other words, there's the upper waters, the lower waters, right? The waters are all going to be gathered together, and they're going to remain in their place, here on earth. So the Medrash says, what's it comparable to? To a king who placed mutes, people couldn't speak, right, at the entrance to his palace. And they would, doff their caps, right? They couldn't speak. They couldn't articulate. Their greetings of honor to the king, but they doffed their caps, they bowed, whatever. Hashem says, if the kavod comes from those who are mutes is so great, then the kavod that should come from those who can speak would even be greater. So what did he do? He placed those who could speak, right, at the entrance to the recall to the palace to be the guards. The Yechziku Apaltin, and they did a coup d'etat. They took over the palace, right? And there's the Pikrin, right? Those who could speak, they did a coup d'etat. And they didn't fulfill the will of the king. The Komasha Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu L'chvodo Bara L'chayit Alav, right? Everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, he created was to testify that he is the creator. Again, not because Hashem needs a pack on the cosmic back, right? Because that's what gives a person an eternal purpose. Right, that's the way Hashem designed the world, to give everything an eternal purpose, an attachment to the Creator. Uchsiv, Hashemayim mesapim kvod kel. What?
It's funny. The people who speak are the ones who were.
Right, they're the ones who cause the trouble.
Yeah.
Right. He says, Uchsiv, Hashemayim mesapim kvod kel. We're saying we mitzvah Hashem, right? We recall it on Shabbos. Hashemayim mesapim kvod kel. Ein omer ve'ein dvarim. Right. The heavens tell over the honor of Hashem. And sometimes, though, that way that they tell it over is ain't no mere vain dream. There's no one speaking. In other words, the heavens, the physical creation, testifies to the greatness of Hashem, but without words. It's like the mutes. It's like the mutes, right? Shekol abruim miramzim im idem al aboreg. All they can do is hint to it. They can't speak it out because they don't speak. Right? They don't speak. Not their speech in a way that's understood. Acha adam shu bardea das v'dibur hu motzi kol ha'edus mikoach el apol. Right? But a person who has the capacity to speak, that's why Hashem created him. He breathed life into him and he became a speaking spirit. So he can testify, not just through hints, right? And sign language, etc., doffing caps and stuff like that. He can speak it out. And that's why Hashem gave wisdom and the ability to cause that wisdom to spill over into his entire being. That's das, right? Chokhmah is to receive wisdom from above. Bina is to understand it properly, right? And das is when it spills over the person's whole being. In other words, every action that he does, with every part of his guf, is a reflection of the chokhmah and bina that he has. That's das. Leida al hayir alav, adas toli be'edus. Ze, ukvi masha adam nitzen daito, nosen daito, v'chokhmaso, rakadei leida es Hashem, v'lohayir alav, kach nitfasef lo das v'chokhmah. A person, the more that he gives himself over, yeah, to what he called to testify, the more that his das, right, his das is what he called is really edus, right? His das is edus. His through his das he testifies to Hashem being the king, and the more that, as it were, yeah, the more that he's made, the more that he testifies to Hashem's being the king, the more his das increases. Right? In other words, the more that it's like using muscles. It's like using a muscle. Use a muscle, more and more it develops. So too, a person can only testify given the das that he has. But the more that he testifies in his thoughts, in his speech, in his actions, that God is the creator, that Hashem is the creator, the more that his das increases. The more he testifies, the more edus, the more das. That das leads to more edus, etc. Kach nitvasef lo das v'chokhma kosher kosev. Edus Hashem ne'mona machimas pesi. The more that I give edus, right, this vasemis, it's again all from the same pericantillum. Edus Hashem, right, ne'mona, if you can count on the edus when you give testimony for Hashem, machimas pesi, it makes you more wise. Right? Right? It's because what do you call it? The edus, as it were, leads to more das, and das you use for more edus, and then the edus gives you more das over and over. The more that a person, by his, once again, by his thoughts, his speech, and his actions, testifies to Hashem being the creator, the more that his das increases. Like it says, Aron Nose is Nosav. Like it says, the holy ark carried those who carried it. When you try to carry it, it carries you. When you try to give edus to Hashem being the creator, then your das, which gives you the capacity to give edus, increases. The more that your being, your life, is a testimony to Hashem being the creator, the more understanding he gives you so that you can testify even more deeply and more thoroughly. Right? Ach atas hanachash akadmoni, and this is an antithesis to the das. Record of the Nachash Kadmoni, right? The what do you call the Nachash? Yimach Shemo. Hayave Yisim Kelokim Zetarovas Ra Betov Shiachbos Vadas Leos Bifnei Atzmo Moshela Shveli Mimenu. Some people want understanding only to lord over others, right? Have power over others. Have power over others. That's what he called. That's the da. That's the usage of knowledge. As far as the Nachash is concerned, and that's what he tried to insert that venom literally into Chava, right? God's preventing you from ruling just like He could rule, because that's the purpose of knowledge, to have power. Das lo nitin rak leida es habori yisbarach. But really, the reason that das is given is so that we can know our Creator more broadly, more deeply, right? Ohayda love, and to declare it through our actions. Nivra Adam Samuch L'Shabbos, and therefore man was created just before Shabbos. Ki Shabbos Sadusa, because the whole essence of Shabbos is all about testimony to Hashem. Like we say, Vayichulu, we stand, we give testimony to Hashem. Shabbos is the day par excellence of testimony to Hashem. Shezet Tachli Sabriya, Ha Adam Shemeid B'Das, right? That Adam who testifies with his das. On the Boris Baruch Shmo, Vaidea Chait Bahadas Nismayet Hadas. And when a person sins with his application of his wisdom and his understanding, then his das is reduced. The Chokhmah, right? Vilezeh Hadas Zochu Bnei Yisrael Matan Torah, and that's what the Jewish people received in Matan Torah. Ata Ares Ladas, just like we said, on what do you call it, on Simchas Torah. Ata Ares Ladas. Listen, Swan says all the time, we open the Oren. You have seen that real, what the Davos is about. Amzu Yatzartili, that you're here, as it were, Tilasi Yisaperu, Hashem created us to tell over His greatness, to speak out His dominion, to recognize Him in everything that exists and in everything that we do and everything that happens to us, etc., etc. And that way, right, that's why it says, a person who says Vayechulu, right, just look at the last lines of the Sfasem, the last three lines, Vachena Omer Vayechulu, a person who says Vayechulu Shemayim Va'aretz, he testifies to Hashem being the creator, Na'as Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis. He becomes a partner of Hashem in Maisa Bereishis. So what we see, we saw just snippets of creation, right? Creation of time, creation of space, about how the words that Chumash uses, right, describe creation, describe Hashgacha, describe how Hashem has made everything eternal. We saw how different approaches lead to either successful or unsuccessful outcomes. The Aretz, wanting to do the will of Hashem, not producing the trees, really called the way they were supposed to do, it was a loser, a mistake, right? The moon, as it were, trying to understand the moon's concerns, the moon, the Hashem's answer to the moon, etc. And the ultimate goal is to produce the Adam. The ultimate goal is to produce the Adam, to produce the what do you call it, Tzelem Elokim, right? Who testifies to his creator's being, and testifies to his creator's guidance in the direction of ultimate tov for all of his creations. And that's diametrically opposed, as the Sfasem says, to the Das, the way people unfortunately understand that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge, right, if it leads, really cool, if it leads to connecting oneself more deeply to one's creator, then in fact the person is indeed more powerful. He becomes a shutaf. He becomes, really cool, literally, he becomes a partner with Hashem in creation itself. But if the person wants to leave out that step of connecting himself to his creator through his knowledge, through his understanding, and just wants the power, then what he's done is he has joined what he called with the Nachash, which is in the end just the source of self-destruction.